6-4, speed low, rim low. Thinking in my 6-4, speed low, rim low. Thinking in my 6-4, speed low, rim low. Thinking in my 6-4.
Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. What's your last thoughts right before your enemy shoots ya? If I could turn back time, I would share more time with my friends and make sure that it would still be a new beginning once it ended. But the sun was suspended in between getting rights and being ignorant. Starving as an urban market did, trying to stay fresh, never shitting all men.
Hey there, I'm Ariel Baska, former teacher, polyglot, super nerd, and host of Ride the Omnibus. We are continuing our first interview in the Movers and Shakers series. In episode 7, MC Physics shared reflections on his influences and his growth as a rapper, as well as his creative process as a writer, producer, and performer. In part 2, we go into his music again. The first song selection brings us to the discussion of wrestling and his podcast, Wrestling on Weed. Move into the world of wrestling for a minute. not that this is not a completely white-dominated space or anything. Like, hip-hop, this was another thing I was told in the 90s I should not be a fan of, but I was a huge fan of WWF/WWE in the 90s. And I really loved your song, DX and WO. I'm going to go ahead and play a clip from that so that we can kind of discuss your passion for wrestling.
Shout out to Rasa Raps, Wale, New Day, Swerve City, bitch, Joel 2 Sleep, Alexis on the foot, Mega Ram, Russell the Flow, Jay Lethal, Ricochet, Rebel Moon, Naomi, Black Wrestling Lights, Millions, let's go. La 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 la, what fit six cooking, no cafe, nigga, we shootin', took the one, turn up in the central booking, hit rock bottom, they corner spots, partner, cuz hell in the ceiling, good for mankind, you should probably thank God, niggas, if not a B. Just like a landline. Let me tell you something, brother. The NWO be staying undercover. Think shit too sweet till you hit a clip. Oh yeah, you know I'm long about you in this bitch. Savage, I'll drop a sequel classic. Dragging niggas out, going wild. So mowing my not so insecure nigga had to call an O. And I'm like, what? Step in this bitch like what? DTA is the word. Heard these niggas want smoke. I go to the world and air it out like what? Like what? Camouflage on a hunt. Stunning everything inside like what? Bony going for the pesos, and that's the bottom line. Cause physics say so. Daylight. There's a panic in the disco. Disco. You can let you and your little friends know. We slamming niggas like we are some Briscoes. Now you can call it you ain't Larry Zabisco.
Thank you.
I wondered if you would mind kind of sharing with our listeners where your love of wrestling came from.
So it came from my love of cable. Because when I was, like I said, when I was in Mississippi, there was just nothing to watch. Everything was on tape. When I moved to Virginia with my mom, when she finally got settled here, my TV was steadily on the USA Network. And, you know, you had your La Femme Nikita, your Pacific Blue, but you're up all nights. But the one thing you had on Monday nights were Raw is Roar. And that's where I kind of fell in love with wrestling, where, you know, I had a little interest when I was a kid, but I really didn't watch it. I just saw the toys and I was like, oh, this guy looks cool. But then, like, once I got to Virginia, was, you know, The Undertaker, Stone Cold, The Rock. And I was like, this is really cool. And I was, you know, my best friends loved it. And I think I watched it hardcore for probably like 5 to 6 years. Like from third grade to probably ninth. And then I kind of just fell off. And it wasn't until, you know, The Rock, now he's this mega superstar as far as a, you know, actor. And he decides to go back to wrestling to wrestle John Cena. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, I haven't seen The Rock in a long time. And like, I would like to see him in the ring. So I started watching, and then I just got hooked again. And the main thing that hooked me back into watching wrestling was this thing called shoot interviews, where, you know, the wrestlers are no longer the wrestlers. They are now, you know, who they actually are. And they're doing interviews about the industry of wrestling and, you know, the psychology of wrestling, what makes a good wrestling match, the crazy circus-like atmosphere of wrestling and the big personalities. And once I start delving into that, I was like finally hooked. And I think that was 2010 when he finally came back, and I've just been back ever since. And it's stretched from, you know, watching WWE and then watching indie wrestling and New Japan Pro Wrestling. And here I am now doing, you know, a podcast every week for wrestling.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's really interesting. I started to listen to a few of your episodes in general, and I find your commentary very cool that you're able to do on there. But I wondered, in terms of your feelings back as a child about The Rock, when, I mean, were you in the generation that saw The Rock as a child? Yeah. And how did you feel when he left for the movie career thing? Because I remember people booing him left and right once they knew.
Yeah, so like by the time he was about to leave, I was already kind of like exiting on my end as far as wrestling. But I thought it was cool, like, to see somebody that, you know, one with wrestling, especially being Black, you know, just seeing anybody that looks like you means a lot, and especially see them being successful. I was super okay with. And, you know, he came back as a bad guy because now he's Hollywood Rock. And he has this, you know, I'm above all of these wrestlers, even though he technically wasn't. He was willing to still do business with everybody and put over wrestlers that are not as popular as him because he knew what his position was. So, hey, I enjoyed, you know, him going into a, you know, him going into another profession that's not wrestling. Because one, hey, at least he's saving his body. And now look at it. We got all these Fast and Furious movies. I mean,
oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, it worked out for all of us. And then he came back to wrestling in his 40s. Like, he didn't need to. Nobody thought he was ever going to come back and wrestle. Like, yeah, we thought he would show up, say a few catch lines, and then everybody would be happy because we get to see The Rock. But to see him wrestle 2 years straight, and even though it was one match, hey, you know, got to thank the guy. And now John Cena, he is gone from wrestling, and now he's in the world of acting as well. So it's going to be a continuous thing, because now, you know, you can actually make a living off of it and not be like, you know, the brother that should not be mentioned who used to do movies and none of them were successful. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's fascinating when I think about The Rock, too, because he had such huge appeal for, like, everybody when I was a kid.
The charisma.
His charisma was explosive. And the fact that he was an African and Samoan man in that position, in that arena, made such a huge difference for a lot of people I know.
And yeah, especially because when he started, you know, he was Rocky Maivia, this
confrontational guy who was
he was this very likable guy, and everybody hated him because he was just too clean. And then he joined the Nation of Domination, which is this pro black wrestling group, and now he's hated because, you know, he's calling white people devils and stuff like that. But he's also so charismatic that everybody started to cheer him when he started doing all his catchphrases, like, "Do you smell what The Rock is cooking?" They started doing it as well. And then you couldn't stop him. He was a snowball going downhill and just growing bigger and bigger until he had to split from the Nation of Domination. And then we finally got The Rock. And a person that everybody knows, like, even if you don't watch wrestling, you pretty much can quote some of his lines because, his appeal went above what wrestling just was.
Yeah. And my white history teacher used to always say, "You bunch of jabronis."
Yeah.
And, you know, all that, you know, fun stuff. And I love all the references that you have to him in DXNWO, too. I mean, yeah, it's just great. And
yeah, that was a song where just one night I heard the beat, and like the beginning, I give shots out to black wrestlers and people of color that are content creators for wrestling because, you know, mm-hmm. we're a small group as far as what the majority is. So I wanted to show love to them. And then once I figured out what the first line was going to be was, "If you smell la 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 with Physics cooking," I was like, how many wrestling references can I put in every line? And
it's great. I mean, you've got, you know, everything in there from kayfabe to, you know, in your house. I mean, just casually inserted, like they're not, you know, a big deal.
And that's the Jay-Z trick of having a punchline but making sure that it's not so obvious. Like, I can still tell a story of what I'm trying to say or what's going on without it being so obvious. But if you're a wrestling fan, like, your ears should perk up when I start saying certain things throughout the whole song. So it was fun because I wrote it the night before I went to the studio. And then the next day I went to the studio, I recorded it. The next day the song came out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was almost 24 hours of all of this because I was just so hyped that it came out the way I wanted it to.
That's incredible. Your enthusiasm for the subject as well as for the people you're giving shout outs to is palpable in the track. You can really feel that energy, I think. And maybe that's also a product of the fact that you had such quick turnaround on this, that it wasn't something that you necessarily went back to again and again to edit. I mean,
yeah, it was one of the few songs where I didn't have to record a bunch of times and then go like, I'll do it another time. It just felt right. I was just super excited for it. And now, like, I'm just waiting to the times I can, like, officially perform this song. Like, I'm itching at the bits to do this song live. Because, like, I do want to say, if, you know, if you're not down with that, I got two words for you, and I would love for a crowd to say "suck it" back to me. So I'm just waiting for that because, like, I mean, when it comes to hip hop and wrestling, I mean, from Killer Mike to the Migos with all the Ric Flair references, and then having Ric Flair, they have a song called "Ric Flair Dripping." Ric Flair's in the video, and just the constant, you know. Because, like, with most things when it comes to rap, you know, we look at the braggadocio person, the super high confident person. And when it comes to wrestling, you know, you have tons of that. So, you know, wrestlers kind of take, you know, moniker of, you know, the either, you know, super confident person, whether it's a Razor Ramon, whether it's a Ric Flair, whether it's a The Rock, or you go for the outlaws where, you know, you have your mafioso rap, where you have rappers looking at gangster movies and real life, you know, mob bosses and taking names from there. Like you have your Scarface and, you know, Notorious B.I.G.'s nickname was Frank White, which is the King of New York, from the movie King of New York. And, you know, Jay-Z is Lucky Lefty Luciano. So you have all of these things where, you know, we want to be the outlaw or we want to be that guy. And with wrestling, being that guy means, you know, you're the top guy. You're the guy that has the belts all around him, and you're the one where all eyes are on you. So, like, it just makes sense of that connection between, you know, things like wrestling and things like, you know, gangsterism, because, you know, it's a connection of being the bad boy at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, I mean, I have to give a quick shout out to the unfortunate wrestler who was actually the one who got me into wrestling in the first place, as kind of a joke, was Val Venus, believe it or not.
Hello, my friend, ladies.
Oh my God. Oh my God. My friend Toddy just, she was like, no, there's this guy who's supposed to be a porn star and he's on TV wrestling.
And I'm yeah. Like, and he, and his finisher was the money shot, which.
Yeah. Oh my God. I don't know what was wrong with me, but I don't know.
Hey, that's he was comedic. Like
he was hilarious.
And the fact that his next character was Right to Censor, which was a group that censored all of the craziness that was going on because he got tired of the porn scene and now he's dressing like a Mormon and covering women up because they shouldn't be showing their bodies. So it's hilarious.
It is. It is really, truly hilarious. So, but yeah, so in general, like, can I just ask though, you were kind of discussing a little bit how it feels to have a podcast in this space where you're one of the few Black podcasters specifically talking about wrestling right now. And we were talking a little bit about how you're trying to kind of comment on the moment on your podcast. And I just wondered, how does your podcasting personality differ from your rap personality? And how do you kind of keep those distinct?
They're the same person, because on the podcast I am physics. The only time it's different is Chris Williams in physics, because I have the natural knack of turning it on. Like I could just be like very lackadaisical, but when it's go time, it's go time. So, you know, physics the rapper is also the wrestler lover. Chris Williams is as well, but Chris Williams is a lot more reserved and rather not talk about it. Chris Williams is the guy that's mostly in his head, and I'd rather just watch movies all day, and my conversation is pretty light. My, you know, happy extrovert personality is physics. It's the same person as far as the show goes, because even my music is still being played on the show. And since I am being, you know, referred to as physics, then that's technically who I am. But I would say as far as like who I as physics, like physics is, and this is what wrestlers say about like their character. Physics is Chris Williams times 10. So it's me a lot more ramped up than I would be, and a lot more confident and a lot more swagger and a, you know, live or let die, don't give a fuck attitude, which I don't have all day because that could be tiring. But when I'm physics, I mean I feel invincible and I feel like I can do anything in the world. So it's my, you know, Clark Kent to Superman moment.
Yeah And you wear it like a cape with style. And in the next song that I'm going to play, this is what I really feel is an important song for this moment in American history. I've been talking a lot about a lot of different issues in terms of race in this conversation, but I feel like nothing speaks to that better than this song. For talking about all of the hypocrisy of white privilege and white responses to the media, I feel like there is no better song to really talk about what's been going on in the relationship between the media and the protests and the coverage of the riots than this song, Riot in My Memory.
Let me paint a picture of what's waiting for you on the shore. You're fucked. 100 years fucked. 100 years after you get free, you still getting fucked out of job and shot at by police. You see what I'm saying? This guy gets it. He's getting angry. Angry is good.
Ride in my memory. 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 Ride in my memory.
them up. Bet you won't tilt my crown. In case the queen's time is now. So from what you heard, sit back and observe. If not, then you can take these four words. Just sit down, ho.
Sit down, ho.
Just sit down, ho.
Sit down, ho.
Sit down, ho.
Sit down, ho.
Just sit down, ho.
Sit down, ho.
Just sit down, ho.
Sit down, ho.
Sit down, ho.
Sit down, ho.
Just sit down, ho.
Sit down, ho.
Just sit down, ho.
Sit down, ho.
Still put those in my mind, so fuck your respectability politics. Cause I could be in a creep, but soon as still be caught a nigga walking at a Whole Foods market. Saying you don't see color, damn when you're on the same level playing field. Telling me how I should feel. Telling me systemic racism is made up. You wonder why I'm skeptic, don't what's real. That's why I don't give a fuck about what you're gonna. You're not gonna take my breath, but you can fuck around and get some civil rights. Followed by some radical left. Saying things are better than it was before. Was progress supposed to stop? And just cause a man type of least brutality doesn't mean that I hate white people love cops. Cause damn sure black hustles wanna marathons when it's a user. Every nigga in the hood wanna live it or do good. Cause every day we out here trying to make a living. Cops got a quota against the making a killing. We done making you feel comfortable. So check your privilege before I check you. Cause if you had everything in private, you stand next to me on limits. Speak instead of just saying in a tweet. Cause goddamn, goddamn, just wanna feel like an equal. Sister killing all my people. Tell me stay in place when I protest and cry. We shy, you deny, but act shocked when it's a cry. Start a fire now, you wanna attack us. Acting like the first person that got the shit popping wasn't Chris McAttox. Nobody changed the world. Go quietly off in the night. What is my word? Fireballing, bitch. You don't gonna see my light. Cause, bitch, you won't tip my crown. In case the queen's time is now. So go with your heart, sit back and observe. If nothing, you can take these four words. Just sit down, ho.
Sit down, ho.
Just sit down, ho.
Sit down, ho.
Sit down, ho.
Sit down, ho.
Just sit down, ho.
Sit down, ho.
Just sit down, ho.
Sit down, ho.
Sit down, ho.
Sit down, ho.
Just sit down, ho.
Sit down, ho.
Just sit down, ho.
Sit down, ho.
Sit down.
I love this song. I think it's, I mean, honest to God, it gives me chills every time I hear this song. It's shameful to say it wasn't really until I studied the lyrics carefully that it really did a number on my psyche.
It's very rapid. So like just a lot of a lot of words coming at you when the song starts.
And I have a bit of a hearing disability. So for me, it's usually very hard for me to parse out the words that I'm hearing when I listen to music. Anyway, no matter what genre of music it is, I mean, it could be like just a generic show tune and it would still be hard for me to figure it out. But I... This song really is such an incredibly well-produced song in terms of the way that you put together all of the different elements we were talking about before in terms of great production, the very cinematic score of it, so that it feels so dramatic and so powerful as a piece of storytelling when you go through so many of these lines that are, I find the chorus so powerful here. Why you take my son, that girl looks like me. And especially when you have the reference to strange fruit on the concrete, that reference to obviously the iconic recording by Billie Holiday and then Ella Fitzgerald of Strange Fruit, referring to lynching. I mean, it's visceral, this song.
Yeah, so like I had the idea for this song since, unfortunately, 2015. I had the beat since 2015, and it was one of those songs that I just didn't want to write. And I didn't know how I could write it. I was just having a hard time and I will have like one of my writing processes. I just write random lines, and I will eventually get back and put these like lines that are not connected and then make them into a full song. Like the one line, but he came with his prejudice. Now that cross I'm forced to bear is now burning on my lawn. I had that line for the longest and I didn't know what to do with it, but like it just, you have that magic hour moment where the, you know, all the pieces of the puzzle are coming together and now you're creating a picture. And the one thing that like hit me was, you know, everybody, you know, with social media, everybody wants to be popular. Everybody, you know, wants that moment of going viral. And it's unfortunate that for a lot of Black bodies, the point of going viral is getting killed by cops. Now you're a hashtag and now, you know, you're on the tongue of every person in the world, but you're not here to see it because you had to be a victim to something that you didn't deserve at all. And that's why I start the first line with the first parts of the song with, I always wanted to drop a song in and watch Twitter talk about me to no end. And who knew that I was only one bullet away from actually fucking trending. Because it hurts. It sucks to, you know, basically see, you know, digital snuff films on, you know, online. And the fact that it's almost, you can't escape it. Like, even with all the protests, every week we've had to see another Black body, you know, be laid out on the ground. Because police are just ready to kill. And that's an unfortunate thing. And then on top of that, you know, you then have right-wing media looking at, you know, then trying to play the whole, you know, they were not an angel card. Mm-hmm. Where at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Like, what happened to them was an injustice. Like, I don't care that they had a criminal background. You know, they shouldn't have been killed. But, you know, I can see, like, if someone was to happen to me, then they will look at my lyrics and be like, well, you know, look at him. He was super angry. So, you know, who knows what he was willing to do because he had lines that said this and that.
Angry and, young Black man, how dare you?
And then he has pictures where, you know, he's doing Too Sweet, which is a wrestling sign, but they don't know that. It's a gang sign to them. But
and it seems like anything any Black man does with his hands is a gang sign to Fox News. But
and, you know, that, like, one of my favorite lines on air is, they put us on a boat, try to break our spirit, using a tube to force feed us. These pundits, they joke, they try to break a hope using the tube to do the same thing through the media. Because, like, as a kid, you know, one of the things that happened as a kid, being a Black kid, we went to the Baltimore Wax Museum of African American History. And, like, one of the first things you see is Hannibal. And it's like, wow, you know, this guy on this huge elephant looking regal. But once you get in to the actual museum, one of the first things you do is you step into a slave ship, and then you look at all the atrocities that's happening. And one of them is because the slaves didn't want to eat, because they weren't depressed, they got kidnapped from their own land, and they didn't want to help out, you know, their kidnappers by feeding themselves, but they got force fed through a tube and taking just that visceral image, and then using, you know, the whole boob tube, you know, the tube is force feeding us through the media that, you know, these people of color, these Black men deserve to die because of a hand gesture, because of, you know, they had some type of criminal past, you know, they're not worth, you know, being here because of that. And it's fucked up, it's unfortunate, because, you know, it's another moment of us trying to plead our humanity rather than getting it just from just being. And it's one of the, and like the images, I just really wanted to put every image out in the song, because with the Good Day, Greater Tomorrow album, that Good Day part is angry because of everything going on. You can have a good day, but these one moments can fuck up your whole day, especially if you're Black. Because, you know, you're like, oh, I had a good day. And then you turn the TV on and then you see somebody that looks like you, looks like your uncle, looks like your mom, looks like your sister, laid out on the ground due to, you know, present day lynching. It might not be from a news, which, I mean, unfortunately, right now, there are a ton of Black men that have just been hanging from trees and all of them have been called suicides. But it seems very rare that out of nowhere, there's a huge amount of deaths through hanging from a tree. It's very fishy. But, you know, at this moment, you know, that strange fruit, that tree is now going under the concrete. And that's where the strange fruit is now laying. And, you know, in the day when Black people would talk about how much we would get harassed by the cops and that the cops would use their privilege and their power to make sure that we were oppressed, nobody believed us until digital snuff films came, and now they have to pay attention to what we're saying. But it's sad that, you know, we did everything we could and they still weren't listening. And like, I wanted to take this cinematic song and then put little things in there like the drums, which, you know, when it comes to drums and just the African spirit, you know, that is highly important. And I just wanted them to be very thumping and, you know, hitting you in the chest every time you heard it. And then if you listen into the parts where I'm saying right in my memory, you have a part going, fuck it up, fuck it up. And that part comes from the actual song FIU. And I wanted to have like the dichotomy of a song that's a club song that can be very happy, and the chance of fuck it up can be like, oh, get it on a dance floor. And then switch it to something like those same lines can be a protest line when, you know, you're seeing injustice and the fact that nobody hears you unless you burn something down. Because riot, you know, comes from a place of frustration and anger that leads to catharsis. And sometimes some shit has to be broken, and sometimes people don't pay attention until something's on fire. Like, you can only protest and scream so much and be heard on deaf ear. Sometimes you got to let people know that we're willing to burn this bitch down until we're heard.
Mm-hmm. And especially when you talk about the media coverage, like the media coverage doesn't happen for peaceful protests. The only
way...
It hasn't
been happening this past week, so...
No, not at all. I mean, the only way you get the news to pay attention is, you know, for either violence to occur on one side or the other. And, you know, what does it take? What must a person do in order to really make change in this country? And, you know, there hasn't been significant progressive change on any front for any minority group in this country without violence. Women's suffrage, you know, a lot of people try to claim that women's suffrage was nonviolent. Yeah, no, not a thing. People like to claim that other groups have managed to win civil rights and so forth without any kind of violence. And no, that's simply a lie. And
yeah, even when Martin Luther King had to turn the other cheek, he had to be beat and bit by dogs and hit by fire hoses and hit by police, because violence had to come from somewhere until, you know, the cameras were there. And then people realized that, oh, they're just not saying these things. These things are actually happening to them. Mm-hmm. Like you said, violence has to happen in some way, whether it's from the oppressed or the oppressor.
Exactly. And it's so overwhelming to me that it has taken this long for a significant population of America to actually wake up to what the fuck is actually happening.
It's the, like you said on in Us, it's the fact that they have no distractions. You can't really distract yourself when you're in the house and this is the only thing you see. Mm-hmm. Now you have to kind of confront what's in front of you. And once you confront what's in front of you, you start asking a question like, why is this happening? What led us to get in here? Am I part of the problem? Like, what have I done to stop things like this? Especially when you're in a position of power. And a lot of people, especially a lot of white people, are finally asking themselves this question, and how can I be a better ally, and what can I do? Because a lot of times it's, you know, us getting asked a question like, hey, you know, what do you want us to do? Like, can you lead the way? And it was like, we can't lead the way. We don't have the power to lead the way. This is on you. You have the power to dismantle this system. Mm-hmm. And we need you to step up to do it. We need you to speak up to when people are being, you know, having microaggressive racism or just being racist in general, and actually saying something rather than just being like, oh, well, that's not me, and just walking away. Because it's still continuing, even if you're not there. And if you know somebody that's empowered as racist and you have a voice, you have to say something. Because you don't know how much that is affecting a lot of people. Because a lot of people that are, you know, showing their ass and getting fired from doing stupid stuff online. But then you start looking at their jobs, and it was like, you know, they were teachers. And it makes you go like, so if they felt this way, how were they towards Black students?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. The effect of how people are in power, and of course, if they are any way with, you know, any way interacting with Black people, like, it's scary. And, you know, everybody seems very fond, and, you know, I don't see color, but when you say that, you just don't see my humanity, because there is color there, and there is a difference. And it's only for you to fully respect me, you have to see that, and you have to acknowledge that, and then you have to acknowledge what you have as well.
Absolutely. Because if you claim that you don't see color, you're not seeing the full picture.
Yeah, and you're sweeping away anything I have to say. Yeah. Because now you're taking away when I say these things are because of my skin tone, this thing is because of race, then you're going, I don't see color. You're just basically going, well, this is not my problem because I'm not like this, so I don't have to deal with it.
And it's a huge part of identity. And, you know, I mean, the whole term identity politics is a whole other thing that we could get into, but I think it's wonderful that you're talking so much about all of these issues, and that you're willing to come on this show and share so much with me. I hope I'm not that white person looking for constant validation. I really, really hope I'm not.
No, you're good.
Okay. But it is the perpetual fear I have right now, because I do recognize that so many people right now are going through this collective white guilt and expecting the emotional labor of, you know, processing feelings from their Black friends and from, you know, all the people of color around them. And that I don't want to feed into that. And I do want just to acknowledge, though, how incredible your body of work is. And I look forward so much to everything that is to come from your work, with this new album that's coming out, and with hopefully all the other many wonderful products that you will have to come back on this show to tell us about.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. You will probably be one of the first few people to hear the album in its fullness once it's done. So I can come back on this show and talk about it. So I'm looking forward to it. Because like I said, I try to make things a lot more cinematic with each album. And I feel like this is the best hint I can give. This is a combination of what I did on Less Than Zero, which was a storytelling album, and what I did on The Moment, with a lot of what's going on now and then the future that I see afterwards of what's going on. This album has been years in the making. And I'm really looking forward to just the ability of getting back in the studio and finishing it and working with the people that I love to work with, because I feel like this is going to be my best project yet.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. And I thought for wrap up, maybe if you had a favorite quote from another person's work or life that you wanted to share that you think is meaningful right now.
Well, my favorite quote that keeps me going is a quote from my favorite artist of all time, Prince, from his book, The Beautiful Ones, which he says, "An artist is in the constant state of becoming, always imagining himself into the future." To me, like, you know, I always feel like I can't stay stagnant. Like, I'm always learning. Whether I'm watching something, whether I'm listening to music, even though when I'm in the mode of writing, I try to stay away from other music because that can seep into what I'm doing. But I always feel like I'm always evolving as a Black man, as a man in general, as a Black creative, as a rapper, that it's never stopping. And then I'm trying to create the future that I want to see and every aspect of my life, where like I want to be a better, you know, lover and companion, and I want to be able to listen to those that, you know, I don't share their same perspective, but maybe I can learn and see what I'm missing out on, and I can be an ally to them. And then when it comes to my creative process, taking all of that stuff I learned from my personal life and putting it there. Because even with this project, this is going to be my most open project, because I'm going to share things I never talked about before, where only certain people in my life know about it. But I've finally gotten comfortable through therapy and the people I love to finally share these things and be able to write about it, because one of these songs is one of the hardest songs I've ever had to write in my life. But I feel like it needs to be heard, because there can be some kid out there that needs to hear it and needs to know that, you know, everything's going to be okay. And that, you know, through help from family, through help through therapy, that, you know, they'll be okay and that they can make it and that they can make something of themselves through any type of tragedy or trauma that they go through.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being here and for sharing your work with us. So you are welcome.
Thank you so much.
Anytime you want to come back on.
I'll look forward to coming back.
All right. We hope you will join us next time for our conversation with another mover and shaker in the world of cinematography. We will also have upcoming conversations related to movies and music and books as well. Please consider rating us on iTunes and or Podchaser, if you would. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at Omnibus Ride. I hope you have a great week, and thanks for joining us. Bye. Don't let it go. Don't give it up. Keep pushing, go. Never enough. Keep your head up to the sky. For life is gonna pass you by. Don't let it go. Don't give it up. Keep pushing, go. Never enough. Keep your head up to the sky. For life is gonna pass you by.